Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. O Allah Azza wa Jal, open the doors of knowledge and wisdom for us. Have mercy on us, O the one who is the most honorable, the most gracious. Ameen bijahi an-nabiy al-ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan bikum to one and all. Welcome to another episode of your program called Reformation of the Ummah. Subhanallah. Where we explore modern day issues, dear viewers of Madani Channel, through the lens of Quran Pak and Hadith Mubarak of our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Most definitely today we have brought another issue and matter to discuss, inshallah, with the viewers of Madani Channel, with our honorable beloved Ziyad Madani Hafidahullah. We say marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan bikum to our honorable Mulana Sahib, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Today's discussion is something which I think Mulana Sahib, we all are going to adhere to.
Inshallah.
Because this is such an action which we all have to engage in,
right.
Subhanallah. And that is, subhanallah, foodie culture, Mulana. Foodie culture, Allahu Akbar. For many, it may be a very strange topic in discussion. Is this even a culture, Mulana Sahib? What type of a culture is the foodie culture itself? Yes, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Food, du'am, should we say, this blessing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We appreciate the fact that Allah Kareem, who has given us teeth in our mouth, Mulana Sahib, who has given us a stomach to digest food, has also given us this beautiful ni'mat and bounty of food, dear viewers. Those who do not have food understand the value of food itself, alhamdulillah. It is only the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In fact, it is such a blessing which Allah Kareem has even mentioned in the glorious Quran. Alhamdulillah. If you really take a look at it, Mulana Sahib, alhamdulillah, there are various foods which we eat, but Quran Pak, subhanallah, has specifically mentioned about milk, honey, man and salwa, which was the food that came from Jannah in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran Pak, which we recite, mashallah, speaks about food that we eat almost every day. For example, lentils. Cucumbers, onions, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And alhamdulillah, even in the hadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, numerous foods are mentioned, even their favorite foods of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah. Even we have some foods that we all adhere to or we like eating regularly, alhamdulillah. So yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, food is something that we cannot live without. It is the essentials of life. Khane ke baghair hum jee nahi sakte, khana hi to padega hume. And Allah Kareem had sent us to a place where this becomes a reason to live, Mulana Sahib. You have to basically eat to live, in other words. And subhanallah, people go to various extents to make this possible, to palo and to keep the stomach happy. To what not lens people do go to, Mulana Sahib,
right,
you know.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. And this is our discussion, foodie culture. We are living in South Africa. This country has its own culture. Those who reside in America, in India, in Pakistan, in various parts of the world, Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara, subhanallah, every country, every city have their own style, their own andaz of cooking and eating and their own cultures. However, alhamdulillah, it is something that we all have to do in order to survive. But overindulgence of the very same thing which was supposed to be the reason of our survival also becomes the reason of our death, Mulana. Allahu Akbar. You know, there's a very good saying. Somebody had said, tell me exactly what you eat and I will tell you who you are. Allahu Akbar. And this is the reality, Mulana Sahib, alhamdulillah. You know, they say that around 1 billion people, Mulana, over millions, around 1 billion people in the world are suffering from a global issue and matter, and that is obesity. Ab duniya mein chale jaye, ab dekhi Maulana Sahib, there are people suffering from this issue. And the sad thing is, if you have a look at the stats, Maulana, there are a large number, actually thousands of youth indulged in this.
Yes.
And they have become victim to obesity itself. And because of being obese, there are so many things in their lives they cannot do. Wahi khana, the same food which is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reason and the means of our survival on this planet. Mm. But the very same food becomes like a punishment for a person who overindulges in that. And thus, this is a program in which we actually speak about reformation. We speak of giving ideas as to how we can become better humans, how we can better the quality of life itself, Maulana. So alhamdulillah, I think it is a very important discussion, and through your Madani Pearls, inshallah, Azzawajalla, how can we have some sort of control over this matter? And let's see, inshallah, Azzawajalla, what the Qur'an Pak and the hadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about this. So yes, we are living in a very, tantalizing dunya, Maulana, where everything is presented in that form. Food itself is a very big entertainment, Maulana, wherever you go in the world, you know. Mm. It is one of the fastest business.
Yes.
And ways of making money itself, Maulana.
Mm.
But the fact that we have a large number indulged in obesity itself, and on the opposite side, if you look at it, there is around 1 billion of people in the dunya who suffer from poverty, starvation, hunger. Allahu Akbar. Ek taraf pe ye dekha jaye to there are people who are overindulging in eating.
Mm.
And on the other hand, we have people on the same level who are suffering without any food itself.
Mm.
Allahu Akbar. So can Maulana Sahib, inshallah, Azzawajalla, share some Madani Pearls, some of your experiences as to why is this the problem actually?
Actually, overeating, obesity, as a result of overeating, in fact, that's among the most common causes of obesity, is just not having any control on our diets, on what we eat, how we eat, when we eat as well, and what do we do after eating. So this has become a problem, overeating. And it's changed their lifestyles. People cannot do the same tasks that they used to do previously after they face obesity. And there are many contributing factors to this. It's very unfortunate, though, that in today's society, one is that overeating itself is a problem. The other is that overeating has become entertainment. If you look towards social media, the entertainment industry in general, you find that people are now entertained by watching others overeat, which is really sad. It's something I've learned of more recently. There's something that on social media platforms is called mukbang, M-U-K-B-A-N-G. It was very strange to me. And
mukbang.
Yeah, unfortunately, some say mukbang, some say mukbang. But it's people sit and eat in front of a camera and most times overeat, overindulge in foods in front of a camera, and people just sit and watch them for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes of their lives. They're sitting and just watching someone eat continuously until they decide to try another food, and then you watch them for another 20 minutes just eat continuously. Large quantities.
And I think it's all about the sound, how you eat without any manners.
Yes,
and then anything, I think, it's not about a specific dish. Even worms and insects and other creatures are eaten very horribly.
They just eat, and people are entertained by just watching that, by just watching somebody eat over and over, continuously eating. And
does it make the viewer lose his appetite or want to eat also?
I don't know. I've received thus far different comments of it. Some say that no, it's very appetizing, and others say that no, it makes you lose your appetite because you watch how people are eating. Many times it's in disgusting ways as well that people are eating, because they're not following the adab and the manners that Rasulullah ﷺ taught us as to how we're supposed to eat.
So the food that can survive suffice many people, like about 4 or 5 people, maybe 10 at a time.
Yes.
So one eater eats all of that.
So one person is eating all of that. And this sort of now makes sense as to how we have such a world in which one eighth of the world is suffering from obesity and plus minus one eighth of the world is suffering from starvation. Because we have a few people that are sitting and eating so much whilst they're storing it for storing more food for the next meal, in which they're going to overeat as well, and others are crying out for a piece of bread. So this is the sad reality of the dunya that we do find ourselves in.
Ish.
That on one side you have greed, and on the other side you have need. You have people that are in need, and on the other side, you have people who are in greed. I heard this beautiful saying as well, that the world has enough to fulfill everyone's need, but not enough to fulfill everyone's greed.
Allah!
You're just going to be greedy and hoard and overeat. And then how are others also going to have a share when we are holding all of it? It actually needs a fair and good distribution, number one. And number two is that when we do overeat, it's not to our benefit, rather it's to our detriment. At the beginning, you enjoy it. At the beginning, it's wonderful. But ask people, well, we feel bad to ask them because they might take offense. But just look around you. People who overeat become obese, bellies tend to bulge. You start to become very uncomfortable. You can't manage to do the tasks you used to do before. But this is unfortunately due to our bad habits, that we decided that we want to overeat and we want to overindulge. Eventually, that I'm just going to taste for a little while, and then I'm going to feel this difficulty that I need to now carry the weight of it for the lengthy and for the long period of time. And then I've got to work twice and thrice or 10 times as hard to try to get rid of the difficulty that I put myself into by overeating. So this is an unfortunate trend, and it's something that we find more and more of the world going into, which has gone so bad that it's now taken a decent share of the entertainment industry as well.
Allahu Akbar. So, Ya Sayyidi, having a look at this, and this being a global issue and matter, obesity is found everywhere, Mulana.
Mm.
People become like that. So, what is the solution, Ya Sayyidi? I mean, our lives revolve around the life of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and examples are always extracted from his blessed life.
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
As he walked, as he spoke, as he ate, as he lived his blessed life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an example for the believers to follow in. What was that sunnah diet of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?
Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. If you look towards the blessed diet of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, many of the things Mulana Sahib mentioned just now were among those foods that were found in the blessed diet of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah ﷺ loved dates, khajur, as people say, tamar.
And it's mentioned in the Quran.
Yes. Now, dates is such a beautiful food. You'll find it in so many ahadith where he ﷺ speaks of it. And there's one special kind of date as well, the ajwa. Rasulullah ﷺ would say, al-ajwa min al-jannah. That dates is from Jannah. And really, when you eat it, subhanallah azza wa jalla. Yeah. What a beautiful, wonderful taste Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed in these natural foods.
Really, really.
And in the month of Ramadan was the one opportunity for many people throughout the world to enjoy the natural taste of natural foods.
But many people leave khajur for the month of Ramadan. I don't see the trend in South Africa. I don't know about other countries.
Yes.
I mean, Arab, you go to, alhamdulillah, you go to Arab Sharif, and then you will find that it's very common because...
Yes.
It's found in large quantities there.
It's grown there, actually.
It's grown there. But like in South Africa, I don't see the rujhan and attraction towards this yet.
Yes.
It's a healthy diet, Mulana.
Absolutely. Actually, people have leaned, or the vast majority of people have leaned towards processed foods because it tends to be tasty or possibly tastier as per the opinion of many on the palate. And so we move towards processed foods instead. But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, in the month of Ramadan, when we fasted and we left processed foods, and at the time of iftar, when we tasted the khajur, tasted the dates, we realized that whatever maza was in this khajur, I didn't find it. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So this is one of the things that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would eat khajur. What's one of the benefits of that? Is that it's such food that is high in energy.
Mm.
And thus even... by eating less, you still have the same or more energy than usual to be able
Agreed.
To carry out your
Accepted.
Task. So the quantity of food is something very important.
And you can have like three beautiful sizes of khajur.
Right.
And you can feel satiated, one of them.
Yes, absolutely. This is barakah.
Amazing.
Before
you go any further, right, just talking about dates itself, I've
right.
seen people after the age of 45, 50, hunting for ajwa, powder, and such things, Mulana Sahib, which do exist today, mashallah,
right,
even
right.
then too as well. But like the same thought comes to mind, you know. People who are looking for the solutions for their health after the age of 40, 45, 50, that same thing could have been so beneficial if it was part of your diet throughout your life.
Absolutely. If we ate, especially the youth that are watching, it's highly recommended that you eat healthy foods, that you eat nutritious foods. When we do that, then later on in life, we don't face these difficulties. I heard this saying previously that eat your food like medicine. In other words, when you take your medicine, you don't exactly enjoy it as much, right? So when you're looking towards foods, yeah, there are certain foods that you might not feel is so enjoyable upon the palate. But you need to eat it because your body needs it and it's good for you. So there's a beautiful thing that eat your food like medicine, or else you will eat your medicine like food. Because at a later stage in life, you start to realize that my unhealthy life choices at the earlier stages in life have impacted me so much that now I'm in need of a lot of medication to be able to curb the effects that of the unhealthy lifestyle that I've brought upon myself. And so it's important to eat healthy foods, number one, but at the same time to watch the quantity of food that we do eat. Now, we tend to, unfortunately, eat, or many people tend to eat, and they know that it's time to stop eating when we need to loosen the belt, or when the stomach says, I can't manage anymore.
And there's some funny quotes on this, right? People have various quotes regarding how much they would like to eat, and when they are told to stop eating. Maulana Sahib, any examples do you have?
I've heard people say some strange things regarding eating that, you know, people tend to boast regarding the amount of food that they eat. No, I eat and I eat. We eat a lot of food. We eat a lot of food. And there's actually competitions that take place, informal competitions among family members. And you go to functions and you realize that as people are eating and someone decides that I don't want to overeat, so they stop at a certain point and the others say, oh, you gave up already. You can't manage to eat anymore. As if it's a competition. I heard people say that. The way we eat so much that when we are done eating, they have to carry us out on a stretcher. People say that we eat so much that they have to take the food away. But this is not what you find from the Sunnah. Listen to what we find from the Sunnah. The Sunnah of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised us to eat when we are hungry. That means eat when we have need to eat. Right. We don't necessarily have to have, you know, 3 meals a day. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. If someone has 3 meals a day and they're eating within reasonable boundaries, it's good. But at least to have the stomach divided into 3 parts. Now, we can't exactly measure it, but you yourself know how much you can eat. And so, what should these 3 parts be like? That one portion, 1/3 of the stomach should be for food. 1/3 of the stomach should be for drink, like water. And 1/3 of the stomach should be for air. Which means that our stomach should not be full to the brim by food, and then the rest of the esophagus till the throat for water, and then we are left with no space to breathe. That's when we're gonna find difficulty. We're gonna find difficulty in movement and
chest burn, cannot sleep at night, food coming to the top, vomit, and all of that. It's all common stuff.
Really unfortunate, and many a times it's because of the quantity of food that we eat. If we just limit the quantity a little bit, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, these difficulties won't happen. But then we got the timings also.
Right.
See, life became so busy as well. Life became so busy that we are so busy with everything else. The only time that we tend to find, and I'm speaking for the vast majority, especially working people, that the time we manage to find some time to be able to sit and have our one decent meal for the day is late at night before we sleep. When we sit late at night and that's our time that we manage to find to have a full meal, that does tend to lead to an unhealthy lifestyle. That because we're not working off that food. And thus, when we lay down, then the heartburn is starting. And that's when the stomach tends to bulge. Because we're eating in the wrong time. We need to balance our days in such a way.
Some discipline is important.
Absolutely. After eating, there needs to be sufficient time and dedication to some sort of exercise.
Agreed.
And if we can do that, take some steps, walk around, do something productive, then inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you'd find people of the past, they didn't exactly have to go to the gym in order to lose weight.
Yeah.
Why? Because their lifestyles were such that they were active. So they ate in moderation, and then they were active as well. So they were healthy people. We are not eating in moderation, and we are not active, and thus.
And then again, we also together with that, adding to that, we are living in times where the food itself is artificial.
Ah, that's true.
And we are not eating organic food, Mulana Sahib.
Yes.
Due to which, when people have favorites, you know, some have one dish as a favorite. Once in a week, once in 2 weeks, you may see your favorite dish. Right? Mm-hmm. The others, almost every dish is a favorite dish. And something is your favorite, you would want to eat that little more than normal, Mulana.
Naturally,
right? So, it's your favorite dish. Imagine somebody likes biryani, for example, and biryani he finds every day in his life, so something that you like, you're going to really eat and eat to your content, eat till you're satiated and satisfied. You would never be in need of a doctor if you learn to pull your hands away from the plate whilst you're still hungry. This is the problem. There's one thing called tabiat. When a person eats, Mulana Sahib, right? So one is when you are full. They say, okay, right, I'm full, but my tabiat is not full as yet. And explaining that, maybe Mu'asa would use some better word to explain.
So the, one is that
you're not satisfied, in other words.
Yes. So your stomach is had enough food. So you've eaten enough, but your lust
craving,
or
the
your craving
is not
yet satisfied.
Yes, not satisfied. Mm. So let me take one more slice of this. Okay, let me taste that. Okay, let me taste that. And then all the things which are sweet, there are some people who survive on sweet, Mulana. Mm. Eating halwa and kheer and all these sweet dishes, I'm just using some names, there are many than that, right? Just to give examples,
right.
Are eaten in large quantity, especially special arrangements are made for such foods. Mm-hmm. As a normal day, Mulana Sahib, mm-hmm. in every meal or before every meal, it's eaten in large quantity. Mm-hmm. And such people then, after the age of 35, 40, want to go and diet. But for the first 20 years, from the age of 15, 16, 17, it started maybe. And now when you have reached your late adulthood, or we would say prime adulthood, between 35 and 40, a person now becomes very health conscious, you know.
Mm.
I want to monitor how many eggs I have, the eggs are fried in the oil, or they're fried in the ghee, or they're fried in what type of natural stuff, you know. I'm not going to have these fries, I'm going to have air fryers now.
Yes.
So people want to shift towards being healthy, which is a good thing. But the whole idea here, Mulana Sahib, to save a generation is that we need to register these points and adhere to these points from a very small age.
Mm.
And I think that makes a person very strong. And I mean, look at about elderly people. I mean, Mulana Sahib's father is what age?
Almost 60 now, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, my father has reached the age of 80. Alhamdulillah.
Ameen
ya Rabbul Alameen as well to Mulana Sahib's father as well, mashallah. And I admire your father a lot, Mulana Sahib. Seeing his health condition, seeing him, I often think to myself, seeing my parents and seeing elderly people, would we ever reach that age and be healthy as they are?
Allah.
Because it's all about what you ate and how you have taken care of your health.
Mm.
If a person has reached the age of 80, it was not written that he has to be very sickly before he reaches 80, 70, 80, 60, mm-hmm. whatever it is. It was your choice of what you ate to reach there in that state.
Mm.
Allah Kareem has written, for example, the age of 90 for some person. And he reached the age of 90 where his hearing is working perfect.
Mashallah.
His eyes are working perfect.
SubhanAllah.
So this is because Allah Kareem has kept him in a good state and he has also chosen to eat right stuff throughout his life in order to be like that. Otherwise, people who are suffering from sugar, diabetes and pressure, cholesterol, go to the hospital and have a look, Mulana Sahib. Though, yes, by other substance, there are damages caused, but mainly because of food, Mulana, fatty foods and items which are completely unhealthy. I mean, the fact that you mentioned, Mulana Sahib, there are people who like to order after 12 o'clock night, to wake up from a sleep, order something that's toasted with ghee and butter, you enjoy that meal, and then with a full tummy, you go back to bed.
What is then the problem this is that nowadays we have, it's unfortunate, this 24/7 food delivery to you.
Yeah.
Maybe it seems like convenience, but at any point of the day or night, we just order food and it comes all the way to our door.
Yeah.
And then you just eat that.
Word.
Now what happens? We end up eating in the wrong times and we end up eating the wrong things. Sometimes actually preparing food at home and eating home food, we don't realize it, but there's a huge difference between food that is prepared in our homes and food that is prepared without or outside of our homes.
Some example, Mama?
See, when we are eating at home, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I'll say firstly, why is it different?
Right.
So yes, maybe you can be making some kind of food at home and you say, I'll order similar outside. But whilst we're eating at home, aren't we taking care of hygiene? Before each thing 100%. Is used, it's being washed.
Hands are washed before even cooking.
Hands are washed before cooking.
Maybe in the state of wudu as well.
Wow. So then you have people that take more care to be in the state of wudu, to recite salawat, etc.
Or
to recite some adhkar. And also when you are preparing the food, that is more of a, you know, spiritual aspect. And while you're preparing the food, then the amount of mahabba and care and so on that you have.
Our Islamic sisters who are listening at this point in time, I would like to mention that inshallah, if they make niyyah now too as well, mashallah, on Madini channel, often we hear beautiful Madini poems from His Eminence, alhamdulillah. But many of our pious predecessors had a habit, they would not cook or eat food without being in the state of wudu, just to attain more spirituality.
Yes.
So if our sisters make niyyah, inshallah, whether it's breakfast, lunch, supper, whatever meal you're going to cook, inshallah. Washing hands, of course, is part of being hygiene, but making wudu, subhanAllah, is another level altogether.
Alhamdulillah.
Just for barakah and blessings, inshallah. Ji,
inshallah. So, mashallah, that special state when you're in the state of wudu and you're preparing food as well.
Right.
And then the ingredients also that is used is more finely picked, good ingredients. Basic example that the oils that are used in restaurants and takeout, many times they are heated and overheated, and the same oil is being cooked in for the entire day, sometimes used the next day and the next day and the next day, And that does bring detrimental effects to our health because fatty foods are continuously being fried in the same
especially
oil.
The street food, Mulana.
Oh, yes. And I'm not even going to say especially the street food because that's just what we see. Even in restaurants, there are kitchens behind in which so much is taking place that we are unable to see. I had a friend that was working, a relative actually, that was managing a restaurant, and he told me once that, you know, if you see what I see, you won't eat. You won't eat from there. And I realized that the same care that we take at home is definitely not going to be taken care of outside the home. I was once with someone and we were at a place where food is purchased, and he was turning away from the kitchen, and I asked, why are you turning away? He says, no, I don't want to see because I'll be put off. So we know these things are taking place, that we're going to be put off by seeing the lack of hygiene and the lack of care that's being taken with regards to our food, yet we still have the drive to over and over again give preference to that food that we can prepare
right.
at home. There's much barakah, there's much blessing in food that's prepared at home, and therefore I would say that please do try as much as possible to rather eat food that is prepared at home. And if we do so, we'll find that we will be healthier, inshallah, and you'll suffer from less sicknesses.
MashaAllah. On the same note, Mawlana Sahib, have you ever heard of something like this, that those who often eat outs and they survive on this? I mean, there are people, Mawlana Sahib, that I know also, that every day is an eat out.
Yes.
At least one meal eat out. Especially people who work and don't take lunch from home and they are working 8 hours, 9 hours a day. They're going to order something during the day, right?
Yes.
And they have a budget for this as well. But like, does this affect one's spirituality?
Absolutely. Most definitely.
One's taqwa, his fear for Allah, you know, being inclined towards salah, roza, all this stuff of yours.
Most definitely. Most definitely. That is going
well. How is it
without
possible?
Without a doubt. See, as we mentioned some of the points just now, when food is being prepared at home, firstly, let's say within South Africa, right? We are a Muslim minority in South Africa, that not the majority of the country is Muslim. So many a times within restaurants and so on, you have people that are preparing food that are not of the Islamic faith, that are not Muslim. As compared to when food is prepared at home, you have food being prepared by people who have iman in their hearts, people who are taking care, people who recite the kalima, people who recite salawat and then the state of wudu, etc. at home. So this is definitely going to have some effect. So definitely if the one who is preparing the food is in a special spiritual state and that's having positive effect on the food, then most definitely, if one is not in a good spiritual state, then what kind of effect will that have on food? So many a times you have disbelievers that are preparing food, you have people who are not in the state of wudu and they're not taking care of their hygiene as well. Then the environment as well in which the food is being prepared. That the environment at home whilst it's being prepared is an environment of Quran Sharif, an environment of salawat, an environment of salah. It's a positive environment. Whereas in a restaurant environment, in takeout environments, many a times there's music being played. Sharia is not, you know, kept to. And therefore,
it's compromised with alcohol at times.
Oh, unfortunately, that's a very, very sad reality as well. That sometimes you have the environment of the restaurant and the food, etc., the restaurant does become a little compromised.
Sure.
Now, even if we say, okay, they don't stock haram foods and so on, here's the sad thing. That sometimes you're going to have people who are working there and preparing foods, etc., that might not be Muslim, especially in South Africa. They're bringing lunch to work. Is all their lunch halal? Whilst they sat and they prepared the food, they sat and ate their food and then they prepared the food that you are going to eat. If they sat and ate haram food and then they set to prepare your food, how confident are you with regards to your meal? It puts us in these difficult states. And so, as much as possible, again, it's recommended that try to eat from good, pure sources, good halal sources. And I mean, it's not to say that these restaurants are haram. No, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, they have been checked, etc. But the greater taqwa lies in being careful. Then again, you have, you know, in outside environments especially, then you'll have the environment not being very positive. Sometimes there's music being played. Many a times there's beparadagi. That means people are walking around you that are not in a good parada state, not in a veiled state as well. And then people who can't manage to eat those foods, who can't afford those foods, and they're passing by and having a look at those foods, and there we are sitting and eating it
Allah,
whilst they are desiring
Allah,
it.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
This too is going to have its negative impacts, unfortunately.
Allah,
so
Allah.
Within the privacy of our homes, prepared at home, in good, pure environments, always the better option.
MashaAllah. SubhanAllah. Amazing Madani Pearls, Mawlana. There was one question I was going to ask with relation to, we discussed obesity in the very beginning, right? And it is something which has really troubled the world out there. And trust me, people who are obese at this very moment are suffering, Molana, and they are trying to get better.
Right.
Others need to get married, settled in life, find a job, other things. But it's your health. If your health isn't in place, if your health doesn't allow for a person to do whatever he needs to, then how do you do it, Molana? Right? So, unfortunately, it's because of the eating. So, how can we control this eating? Can you give us some tips, some ideas? Maybe we can start making amal upon it from tonight, inshallah, from tomorrow. For example, let's talk about timing. When is the last meal would you suggest, doctors suggest, that a person should have? Because this is the control we need to have. Late night eating should be cut off completely, Molana.
Very true.
So, I just met somebody today, actually, and this was my discussion. He did not know, but for some reason, in the conversation, he mentioned that, you know, I do not eat anything after 6.
MashaAllah.
But I think this guy goes to the gym and he's a bit health conscious and he's controlling himself. So, he was just advising me that, you know what, I do not eat anything after 6 o'clock in the afternoon. If I do have anything, it's just fruits. I once met a doctor and I even asked a doctor. Then he said to me that after 7 or 8, basically, he says his supper is only to do with stuff like milk, like fruits that are easy and
digestible. Things that can be easy to digest.
Yes.
Very good, you know, with regards to especially our night meals. If we're going to have something at night, it should be something that's easy to digest. It should be something that's eaten a little early instead of eating very late. So having a cutoff point by which, after which you're not going to eat, or if you're going to eat, it's going to be something that can be digested very easily, that is very positive. The recommendations is that supper should be light. It shouldn't be too heavy. You can have something a little heavier for breakfast or for lunch. So that's okay. There are some countries where, mashallah, the breakfast is quite heavy because they consider that I need to be energized for the day. So you'll have people that will, well, I know in Indo-Pak, in India, Pakistan, etc., people could sit and eat paratha and tea for breakfast, you know. It's a heavy breakfast. Whereas in South Africa, you don't really see that. Sometimes it's eggs or else it's
I think we need the heat like that to melt everything down. We need to walk like how they walk in India and Pakistan. SubhanAllah, it's really amazing.
Yes, walking and being active is definitely going to help. So by towards supper time, the diet or the amount of food that we take in and the kind of food needs to be.
And the energy the body requires at the time at night, Molana. It all depends on that as well. Because during the day when a person was active and when he was supposed to eat healthy, that's the time the meal are very less in quantity. And when you come home, and there's no limit, Molana Sahib, because now you're home, you're free, and you enjoy. And on the supper table, discussing with the family, how was your day, so on and so forth. And
before you know it,
it's too late, Molana. Okay, that's one idea, mashallah, we have, that we can monitor our timing, right?
Right.
Let's try and not eat late at night, dear viewers. Let's make a firm intention, inshallah, with this niyyah that I can wake up for Salatul Fajr, inshallah. My heart will be more inclined towards the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the one who sleeps a lot, the one who eats a lot, the one who talks a lot, Molana. These three things are bad things for one's iman and for one's health at the same time.
Yes.
So another way is that one person said, you don't have to eat in a platter. What a plate. You can eat in a small side plate.
Wow.
This makes a difference.
That's also quite smart that how we eat.
Yeah.
Not just what we eat, but also how we eat. We discuss timing and how much we eat, but also how we eat. So let's say, for example, if the portion is smaller, the plate is smaller, it can't hold too much.
Yeah.
So if you dish out a little bit and you'll eat and then you feel you're dishing out again and you eat, maybe it'll take three of those plates to make a full plate. But by the end of those three of the plates, you feel a little bit guilty that I'm dishing out so much. Whereas if we dish in a full plate and then we dish another full plate, it feels like just two. So smaller plates is a help. And then the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to eat is to eat with three fingers. The middle finger, the index finger, and the thumb. So these three fingers, if someone eats with these three fingers, you'll notice that your morsels tend to get a little smaller. When your morsels tend to get a little smaller, you tend to eat a bit less. Then also chewing the food until it becomes, you can say, I'm just to make it easy, close to liquid in the mouth before actually swallowing it. So we're not gobbling food, rather we're chewing it well so that it's easy to digest. So here, whilst we're chewing the food well, we realize that the time it took me to eat, in that time I was eating, but I was chewing food, so I ate a little bit less because I paid more attention to me chewing food. Water is another good key to eating less.
Mashallah.
That if we drink water at the beginning of the meal and during the meal, you find that we tend to become a little more full a little faster. So instead of eating a lot, we managed to get to eat a little less because we were drinking whilst we were eating, as compared to if someone was just going to eat continuously without drinking, then they'd experience that difficulty of having to eat a lot before you feel quite satiated, before you feel quite full. So 100%. Drinking a little water between, holding, taking morsels with three fingers, chewing the food properly, ensuring that it is completely broken down before swallowing the food. These are some good, easy tips that we can use in order to cut the amount of food that we eat down.
Wow. Very beautifully mentioned, Mawlana Sahib. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So these are some important points, Mawlana Sahib, that you have mentioned. Acha, with this, since we are discussing food itself and some wonderful things about food, the Quran mentioned some things that we only eat, spinach and onions and cucumbers, mashallah. Khajur is there, milk is there, honey is there, mashallah. From these meals which have been mentioned in the Holy Quran, Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also included that in his sunnah, subhanallah.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
But I'm sure there is some favorite food of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which companions of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned, radiyallahu ta'ala
ajma'in. Yes, yes, indeed. There are a few favorite foods that were very liked by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll quote a few. I think one of them that comes out among the top favorite foods of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be that which is commonly known today in today's time as kaddu sharif. And that is, calabash is among the favorite foods of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To what extent was it among the favorite is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would actually search for the kaddu sharif, for the calabash within the dish. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pick that and would eat that. So this shows how much Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked calabash. Also, we know that dates, khajur, was among the favorite foods of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huzur Ekrem sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked honey a lot. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a condiment, as a gravy, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked vinegar. There's actually a blessed hadith on that, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for a condiment or for a gravy, and the blessed household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we only have vinegar. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What a wonderful condiment vinegar is!" So vinegar, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam also liked. Now, Huzur Ekrem sallallahu alaihi wasallam also liked meat. And it's known as, you know, the Sayyid al-Ta'am, the best of foods. So, even though he sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked meat, and this is something for us to pay lots of attention to, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked meat. But it is not shown anywhere. We don't find it in narrations that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam eat meat every day. So, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't eat meat every day.
Yet he loved meat. Yet if he wanted, he could have eaten meat.
Absolutely.
It would have been obtainable for him.
Yes. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once in a while, he would partake in meat. And that is a very beautiful mindset that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us.
Wow.
That you may like something. You may love something. You may like something. But there are times for it. At certain points, you take it. And at certain points, you must learn to tell your nafs no. This is a big reason for success. Of successful people, big reason of good health for healthy people, that they know when to say yes and when to say no to their nafs. They don't open their nafs or open the cages of their nafs to such an extent that everything you want you'll get whenever you want it. This is not the way. You know, just like a child, if you give the child what it wants, what the child wants, what he or she wants, all the time, whenever they want it, what do you end up with? Just a spoiled child that doesn't know, cannot bear being told no. And then they go into wrong. But if you balance it in such a way that you will get what you want at certain times, and at other times, you won't be able to get what you want. So you balance it. And at only those times when it's okay and it's good for you, then you can have that.
That's true.
Just like that. Our nafs is like a child. If we don't control it, teach it its limits, it will control us. And then it will give us no limits and we'll fall into much difficulty. So just like that, how Huzur Ekrem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sometimes eat meat. We might like a lot of things. We might love desserts. We might like sweetmeats. I know many people love barfi. Many people love many desserts. Many people love these chana magaj and lots of these things. Many people like meat. Many people like fatty foods. We like deep fried foods. We like lots of different things. These things are pleasurable to the nafs. And we're not saying that you can't have a slice of cheesecake. We're not saying that you can't have this or you can't have that. But you can't have it every day. You can't have it too often. We've got to tell ourselves that there are times for this. And there are many times that I'm going to say no to you. So in that way, even if you just look at the month of Ramadan, what a beautiful lesson the month of Ramadan teaches us. You have 29 or 30 days of fasting and then one day of feasting. This makes sense to us. That throughout our lives, it's got to be such. We've got to have many more times that we tell ourselves no as compared to the number of times that we tell ourselves yes. If we're telling ourselves yes for 29 or 30 days and no for one day, then our nafs is going to override us and we're going to say yes all the time. And rather, for 29 or 30 days, we need to be telling ourselves, no, no, not this, not that. Today is not the day you can eat that. Today is not the day you can eat that. And then on the 30th day, then sometimes we can let ourselves a little loose. That yes, now you can have something you enjoy. Now you can have something else. And I'm not saying or encouraging unhealthy eating. But sometimes you're going to want to eat something that's a little bit out of your normal diet. So it's not to say you can't do it. If it's halal, if it's tayyib, if it's okay, then you can have it. Of course, if your doctor does recommend or give permission for it. But it's not every day that we can be doing these things.
And there are some who do it every day.
Unfortunately, and if we don't control ourselves, Allah, it will become all of us.
Okay, so Mawlana Sahib, I was just thinking as you were speaking, right? There are others who have their food prepared in a very particular way.
Right.
There are others who do not eat everything, but certain things.
Right.
There are others out there who eat everything and anything.
Mm-hmm.
There are others out there, mashallah, who are very selective and they eat healthy stuff and they give preference for that over unhealthy things, right?
Right.
Now, we as parents, we have children and the youth of today are actually wanting everything that they see on the media, that they see on television, that they hear from others, talking friends, right? So, name it, Punana. If you look at the children today that take lunch to school, as compared to our days, I don't know when Mawasab used to go to school, what you used to take to lunch, right, for lunch.
Right.
But like today's children, if you see, Munana, 99% of the time is all unhealthy stuff, fries.
Absolutely, very sad.
And things that are not going to keep them healthy in life. But you want your child to be very zaheen, intelligent, his intellectual abilities must just increase, you know, by going to school and learn and absorb whatever is being there. And then you see the miyar and the criterion of the school syllabus and the standards have been set very high as compared to previous times. So knowledge is found in abundance as compared to before, but the food has dropped in terms of quality as before.
So the fuel, unfortunately, is of the lower standard.
Yeah.
But the distance that we want to cover
is a lot.
So how do we then expect that students are going to be able to focus in class?
Exactly.
When, unfortunately, their diet is such. Just imagine this. Many parents complain about sugar. Too much of sugar makes children hyperactive.
Right.
This is normal. It's widespread common knowledge. That you have things within the chips and etc., the fries and so on that the children are eating, or the chips or crisps, as they call them in South Africa, MSG, for example. So these things tend to have those negative effects on children that they tend to get hyperactive. And just imagine...
And addicted to a certain type of food. There's a lot of addiction to it.
I think for children, many a times, among the biggest addictions and the most dangerous foods are sugar-filled foods. Because the sugar is so much, it makes them hyperactive, and we need children to be a little more focused in class. Now, before they left home, we are feeding them with cereals that's packed with sugar. In their lunch as well, I've seen nowadays, there's a trend in South Africa, you get this chocolate bread.
Yeah, chocolate bread.
Now, chocolate bread that you place chocolate within the
bread.
You
spread chocolate spread.
Yes, chocolate spread on the bread and fold that over. So now even that sandwich hasn't become healthy. And then there's so much of fizzy drinks that's eaten. And then there has to be a chocolate in the lunch bowl. And then after all that lunch, we expect that the child will go into class and focus on the lesson. After that break time, the child is more active than they were during the break time. And the next sugar rush goes on. So this sugar rush that's constantly, the children are constantly
keeping the children hyper.
It's keeping them hyperactive. It's making them difficult to manage.
100%
more. Making it difficult for them to be able to focus. And then what we realize is, okay, once the sugar rush dies down, now they're just so fagged out. They're just so tired that they can flop on the bed and just fall asleep. Whilst if we balance their diets in a good, proper way, then we will see consistent energy that is balanced throughout the day. That means from the morning to the night, they have the required amount of energy, not over-energized. And that means if they're not over-energized at a certain period, it means that after that period, they're not going to just have to flop onto a bed and fall asleep. Why? Because they were not over-energized such that they worked it out in such a way that they have no energy left. No, gradually they will lead towards becoming tired, and then falling asleep in a good way at night.
100% Mawlana. A very good Madani pearl you have shared.
Alhamdulillah.
And kash we can make amal upon this. Every one of us as parents want our children to be healthy, want them to be intelligent in school. However, together with this, I would say put their children to test. On one table, you have all the healthy diets. You may have fish, you may have some meat, some steak, for example, all healthily cooked as well, right?
Right, right.
And then you put some pizzas, throw some burgers there, throw some other fast foods, right? And especially food that's cooked for children in 2 minutes. I don't want to use name. Any food that's prepared under a minute, like 2 minutes food, it's like a 2 minute, and children die for that. There's flavorings in that, right?
Right.
Available. Now, for our convenience, especially for Islamic sisters out there, if they find it very convenient to keep the child quiet and just give him what he's asking for, as long as it's edible, as long as it's something that can go in the stomach and keep him quiet and he enjoys it or she enjoys it, we are introducing our children to things which are very detrimental to their health.
Yes.
Dangerous to their health. That child cannot eat 2 minutes food that's prepared in 2 minutes and become a doctor and professor tomorrow. What future does a child have in terms of having that ability of absorbing, Mulana, and
absolutely
learning and studying? This takes hours. You know, our pious predecessors mentioned about khajur, badam, pista, healthy drinks, badam, milk. You know, eat healthy and then you will think healthy and you
yes
will become healthy as well.
Yes.
But unfortunately, our children will opt to the things which are the most unhealthy things on the table. And then the reason why I brought this up is, Mulana Sahib, I blame the parents out there big time. The reason for this is, Mulana, because we give the option to our kids who are 4 or 5 years old. What would you like to have, my child? Why would you want to ask the child's opinion when you as a parent already know what's right for the child?
Absolutely.
So I would not ask my children on the table. If there's 3-4 dishes, alhamdulillah, through the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is most important and that needed to the body should be eaten first.
Yes.
So I would not want the option to be given to the children.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, it will be dished out for them. And if they chose something which is unhealthy, then immediately they should be rectified that you have chosen something which you should also eat. Allah's ni'mat and blessing it is. It is provided on the table. But you should eat this first. Now there's greens over there, there's cucumbers. For example, children just don't like to eat lettuce, cucumbers. Healthy stuff, Mulana Sahib, that's in the green, for example, that can be eaten, you know, without cooking.
You know,
for example, how many of our children of today would like, say, steamed veg?
Yes.
There's so many healthy dishes. We don't want to take names, right? But people know, right, what's available. But if it's steamed, few vegetables put together is steamed in the pot, how many of children today would like to even taste that? It's too bland, Mulana.
We got their palates used to other tastes, unfortunately. And this is a very good point that Manasa mentioned now, that with regards to getting our children to eat certain dishes first, that yes, you like that dish, but it's not good for you. This is good for you, so rather you eat this first. So you know that majority of the appetite goes on something that's healthy. Unfortunately, we've gone to such an extent that now if parents are told that, okay, your child should eat lettuce, cucumbers, tomatoes, etc., we say, okay, we don't know how to make them eat it, so we'll put it in a burger. Then we've just cancelled.
You just found another way of just eating, Mulana.
We've
that is a famous one, right?
We've cancelled the effect of it because we've given them fatty foods, processed foods, and then we just thought we'll put a few green vegetables within there and everything will be fine. It doesn't work like that. We have the similar difficulty. Sometimes we want to eat salads, but then we kill the effects of our salads with the processed salad dressings that we have. So we do need to find a balance. Most definitely we need to find a balance, but a healthy balance, not such that we bring some good and we cancel the effect of the good out.
Yes, yes.
Yes, not to say your children cannot eat a burger or cannot eat this or that, especially you're living in certain countries, westernized countries especially, where these foods are common foods, then just limit the amount that they have. A burger is not something that should be eaten every day. I have parents that complain that we try to give our children healthy foods, but the school tuck shop is selling unhealthy foods. And therefore, when my child will go to school with healthy lunch and unfortunately come back with the healthy lunch because they purchased something there. Now, there too, we haven't trained our children enough to teach them that this is what we eat, and at a certain day, on a certain time, then you can have that. Then again, the unlimited budgets that we tend to give our children, this is causing our children much problems as well, that every day you will have money to be able to purchase lunch.
I think it's because others have. They have this facility that's available.
Right.
And our children mentioned, you know, certain friends have that money and they can buy this and buy that. I also want to have.
But isn't it also important to teach our children that we can't always have what others have? It's not always good for us. What's good for one is not always good for the next. There's a nice saying in English. They say, one man's bread is another man's poison. That sometimes something is good for one person, not good for someone else. And it doesn't mean that someone else has that we always have to have. If we are always trying to keep up, if we're always trying to keep up with what others are giving their children, our children are going to fall into much difficulty and so will we. So we can't always be giving them what everybody else has just on the basis that others have it. No, you are special and you are different. You're going to be a healthy person together. And I think this is something we can take up with our children.
Mm-hmm.
That let's say, for example, not just you're going to eat healthily, I'm also going to eat healthy. Not just you're going to exercise, I'm going to exercise. Mashallah. We can have challenges.
I think that's very workable. That's
that,
workable,
yes, ma'am. We're going to eat this kind of food and we're going to do this kind of exercise and this. And then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, your child now feels not just like your child, but like your teammate.
Hmm.
No, dad and I are doing this together. Mom and I are doing this together.
And this together plays a major effect on one's emotions, on one's health. And immediately, yes, instantly, Yani, you will see the results of that.
Absolutely.
I would say to any person, for the next 40 days, stop all eat outs, Mulana.
Allahu Akbar.
Make a niyyah for 40 days, inshallah.
In South Africa, this is very difficult.
Allahu Akbar. I think in many countries right now, especially in UK, you know, yes, all these things are very much found in abundance, Mulana.
Right.
When anything is abundantly found and just for you to go, it's fast food. Everybody has fighting for time, I think. And
it's true.
This is that thing that causes a person to go and have that. But limit, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. Achha, before we end, right, some other pearls on this, which is also a major problem in society. You know, as we said, entertainment is food, right? Foodie culture is our discussion today, alhamdulillah. And during this entertainment, it's all about sizzling, you know?
Ah.
Garam garam khana jo samne mein pesh kiya jata hai. So the whole idea is for you to see the sizzling food and for your mouth to also sizzle. And for you to whistle when you see the sizzling food. So people eat hot food and extremely hot food where you see the smoke evaporating, steaming food. And some could eat it, some cannot eat it. Some get burned, they would burn their throat, their tongue, their taste buds get damaged. You see people drinking hot tea. There was an incident in overseas where this person was going to miss his train. And I heard this from my teacher. He said to me it happened in his time. He saw a person and he bought a 2 rupees tea. And to save the 2 rupee tea, he basically sipped very fast on it because the train was about to leave. And before he put his first leg onto the train stopped for 5 minutes at the train station. And he never got back onto the train, he died.
Allah.
Because of gobbling, or we say gulping hot tea so fast. So heat has caused death. And then people blow into the food. All these, according to Sharia, how is this? What does Islam say about blowing and eating into the food and all of that?
That's considered makruh, to blow on food. Actually, with regards to hot food, very hot food, steaming food, Rasulullah ﷺ didn't like very hot food. The beloved Nabi ﷺ taught us, and we learn within this beautiful deen, that there's no barakah in hot food. Rasulullah ﷺ would wait for the food to stop steaming. What's one of the signs of hot food? That it's steaming. So he ﷺ would wait for the steam to subside,
right,
that it would stop steaming, and then he ﷺ would partake in that food.
Wow.
And such food, you'd find that, I mean, it's not that your food has to be so cold as if it came out of a fridge. No, but the food,
it can be hot, like chilies, other kind of the fridge is still hot.
Yeah, it should, to closer to room temperature. And then we should partake in the food. Now some people will say, but I can't drink my tea if it's not steaming hot, and I can't eat my food if it's not steaming hot. Well, there was a stage at which we could, isn't it? Whilst we were growing up, we could. We trained ourselves to become like that. We can train ourselves otherwise as well. And so gradually we can move ourselves away from extremely hot food. We should avoid extremely hot. And when I'm speaking about hot, I'm speaking about temperature hot. Yes, it's a different matter that unfortunately some people are so used to extremely spicy foods, which is also detrimental.
Right.
So there too, it's better if we gradually work ourselves closer off the spice. Yes, some amount of spicy food or some amount of spice, okay. But you find that if we're eating too much of spice too much of the time, then people tend to suffer with difficulties like stomach ulcers. And ulcers of the intestines, etc. Because the stomach is not used to this. And the amount of acid as well that there is in spice. And therefore, if you're used to spicy food, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, but a moderate amount of it, or else you end up eating lots of spicy foods when you are young, and then you suffer with lots of heartburn when you are old.
Allahu Akbar. May Allah Kareem grant us tawfiq and ability to practice upon these amazing madani pearls you mentioned, Mulana. Somebody had said, you know, food is not rational. Food is not rational. It is culture, it is habit, it is craving and identity, Mulana. And
in today's time, yes, that's actually quite true.
This is the trip. And this has become who we are today because of what we eat. And if we're not going to monitor this, Mulana Sahib, our old age is at stake. If a person is to reach old age and your youthful days, your young days is not monitored well, as it is, we have fake in the market, as we mentioned, Mulana, from the egg to the sugar to the bread and to so many things that we eat on a day-to-day basis, which is part of our necessities of life, Malana, is compromised with, right? So, Mubarak to those, mashallah, who like to eat organic, Malana. They have this farming in their houses, in their backyards, mashallah, and they try to do it. That way, may Allah Kareem grant you barakah and blessings in that food, mashallah. Promote good, and inshallah, you shall see his barakah and blessings. Malana Sahib, once again, shukran. Barakallah. Allah Kareem bless you in abundantly.
Ameen.
And to all the viewers of Madani Channel for watching and for sharing. May Allah Kareem bless you in this world and in the hereafter. Until Ameen. Next time, stay good, be good, do good. And do not forget to recite durood and salawat upon the most exalted Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad
sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of